So Genesis chapter 32, we're going to start with just a little bit of review. So we got up to verse 23 last time, and we saved the best for last. We've only got maybe eight verses or so at the end of this chapter, but this is a really rich passage that we got a lot to talk about. Okay, so if you recall, last time I was here was almost a month ago, but last time we talked about how Jacob and Laban had parted ways, and Jacob comes, he starts this chapter, he comes to this place that he ends up calling Mahanaim, but it says the angels of God met him there. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means two hosts or two camps or like double camp. And his point being that he chose to make camp there in the very same place where it looks like God had made a camp there. This is God's host. There's a bunch of angels here. At this point, he's on his way back to his father's house, back to his family. And when he left his father's house, there was some trouble with his brother that he kind of caused. He's very concerned about how well he's going to be received by his brother when he comes back home. But God told him to go back home. And God had said, "I will be with thee." So Jacob is going, but he still has these fears. And so he sends out this this little scouting party, these messengers. In verse 3, he sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have journeyed with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants, women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." And that's an army. It's literally an army. So what happens is verse 7, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he makes up this plan. "I'm going to divide my family into two groups. So if Esau takes out one group, at least the other group has a chance to escape." Mm-hmm. It's kind of a desperate plan. You can see he's greatly distressed. He's greatly afraid. But then he goes to the Lord and he prays. Okay? And what happens throughout this chapter has a lot to do with the passage that we're going to look at the end of this chapter, because it doesn't really give us that much detail in the end of this chapter about what's going on, but we're going to know what's happening from the theme of this chapter. So let me read through this prayer again. Verse 9, Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Amen. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So he stays there in that place, that same place where the angels of God were encamped, and he makes this present for Esau. I'm not going to go through all the details of it now. But then you see the last thing that he did when we went over this before is that he sent over his family, and he sent over all his stuff over the, a brook or something? It was a ford, right? Missing where it actually says that. Yeah, that's what I was looking for, verse 23. Yeah, so he sent them over the brook. He sent over the things that he had. But we saw at the beginning of verse 24, it says Jacob was left alone. So we're going to start reading there and read through the end of this chapter, and then we're going to talk about it. So verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be no more, shall be called Jacob. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed."
Man.
And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Okay, this is a very strange story that just kind of comes out of nowhere, and you read this for the first time and you're like, what on earth is going on here? We don't have all the details of this story, but we do have enough in Scripture to grasp the most important things, the things that God really wanted us to take to heart, the spiritual aspect of what's happening here. Okay, so first of all, in verse 24, again, Jacob sent over his family and all that he had, and it says, and Jacob was left alone.
Man.
Okay, he was left alone in this place where he said, this is God's host. This is God's camp. Look at all these angels, okay? Why is Jacob left alone? Is it because his family just passed over and they forgot about him and they left him behind? No, this was very intentional.
Right.
Jacob wanted to be left alone. Why? Because that is how one wrestles with God, okay? There are times when we gather together to pray, to worship, to seek God, and that's very special. And we are a body comprised of many members. But that's not how you wrestle with God. It's not all of you and all of us versus God. And wrestling happens one-on-one, okay? And that's what Jacob is doing here. He wants to be alone with God. There's something really special about being alone with God. Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Why? Because a closet's small. It's intimate. There's only space in there for you and God. Your words that you speak, the things that you pour out to God, nobody else is around to hear them. You can be sure that it's just between you and God. You can be absolutely sure you're not putting on a show for someone else. You're not relying on someone else's thoughts to intervene between you. It's just you and God. You're alone with him. It's one-on-one. So it says Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. It's very interesting how this other person is described. It says there wrestled a man with him, but then later on in verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which means the face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. According to Jacob, he saw God face to face. So he's described as a man that wrestled a man with him. And also, I've seen God face to face. Turn to the book of Hosea. We're actually going to probably end up in Hosea a few times today. Hosea chapter 12. And this is, as far as I know, the only other passage in the Bible that really talks directly about this account in Genesis, about Jacob wrestling here. Hosea chapter 12, and let's start in verse 2. It says, "The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him." And honestly, just even in the life of Jacob, the individual, we've already seen some of this. That Jacob, you know, he wasn't always this this honest, upstanding guy. And you know what the Lord did? He rewarded him according to his ways. He gave him a taste of his own medicine in a couple of situations. And the Lord is, he's a rewarder of good and also evil. But verse 3, it says, "He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed." You know, that's the same thing that it says in Genesis 32. "As a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So you know it's talking about this situation. But what does it say here in Hosea 12? "He had power over the angel and prevailed." Okay? So this person that he's wrestling with is called a man. He's called an angel. And according to Jacob, "I saw God face to face." Wow, this is pretty interesting stuff here. So what exactly is going on here? Is this a physical wrestling match? Well, as you read this account, it's pretty hard to say that it's not. There is a physical wrestling match going on here. There's two men wrestling, and there's a prevailing happened. There's a physical injury that happens to Jacob as a result of this wrestling match. So there is a physical wrestling going on here. Okay? I don't want to say that there's not. But wrestling is not always physical. Okay? Actually, just a couple chapters ago, we were in Genesis 30. And Jacob ends up with these two wives. It wasn't really his intention, but there you go. That's where he is. He's got two wives, Rachel and Leah, who are sisters. And Rachel says in verse 8, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." She wrestled with her sister. It wasn't a literal physical wrestling match. It's talking about her sister had done something, had born some children, and it seemed like it was almost like a competition to her. That Leah had some children, and now Rachel's been struggling. She hasn't been able to have children, and then finally she found a way, and she's like, "You know what? I'm wrestling with my sister, and finally I prevailed. I did it. I had a child too." She didn't really. We talked about that before. But that was her attitude. This is a wrestling match. It wasn't a physical wrestling match, but it was a wrestling. So there's different kinds of wrestling. I will say this about this this wrestling match. Actually, if you're still in. You're still in Hosea. Let's just continue reading a little bit more. I actually turned away from Hosea, so give me a second to come back. Okay, so again, Hosea 12, verse 3, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept.
Amen.
And made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. So it's not just a physical wrestling match. There's more kinds of wrestling that are happening here. And it says he wept and made supplication unto him. The physical wrestling that's happening here, I think it's kind of a picture of something spiritual, something deeper that's going on. And Jacob was wrestling with God in prayer. And we already read the type of prayer that was in Jacob's heart at this point. I said it was earlier in this chapter. We saw what was his thoughts of his heart toward God. And I think that's the attitude that he had when he was wrestling. It just kind of shows up out of nowhere, though. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Well, what happened? Well, my thought is that he had everyone else pass over. He stayed alone there, and then he went to this camp of angels and said, take me to your leader. I want to speak with God. I want to meet with God because I'm going to face something really tough, and I need his blessing.
Amen.
And I'm not leaving till I get it.
Amen.
God told me to go, and I'm going, but I ain't going without him. I need him. I'm really in dire straits here. I'm under a lot of duress. I have a lot of fears. I need to talk to God. And I need to get this thing settled. So, another thing. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. This is passage is not actually talking about Jacob directly, but this is kind of the exact same thing that it's talking about. Hebrews chapter 5, really, it's talking about Christ as the high priest, and we see some parallels with Melchizedek. But in Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
Right.
Well, there's Jacob's wrestling in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. He is doing the exact same thing according to Hosea. In the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. That's what Jacob is facing right now. He's like, Esau's coming at me with an army. He's going to attack me. He's going to kill me. I'm facing death. But there's someone who's able to save me from death. And I'm going to cry out to him. And I love how this is phrased here. Prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. A lot of time we look at somebody that's crying and they're weeping and they have tears and we think that's a sign of weakness. But this was strong crying.
Amen.
And tears. There was great strength in this.
Amen.
This is not the only time that someone wrestled with God like this. And you know what? I'll get to that in a few verses here. So, yeah, let's just continue on for now. So verse 25, so there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's the person that he's wrestling with, saw that he wasn't prevailing against Jacob. He touched the hollow of his thigh. That's the other person touching Jacob.
Right.
And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with them. So wait a minute. Is Jacob wrestling with a man? I think the man was the appearance to Jacob. Jacob is seeing him as a man.
Right.
But actually, we know from Hosea that he's an angel. Okay? And the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, that angels are greater in power and might. They're greater than man in power and might. Well, wait a minute. Why can't this angel prevail against Jacob? That's interesting. Well, this wrestling just kind of happens out of nowhere, it looks like, from the context. But what was the point of it? Was this angel trying to defeat Jacob? No. If he was, he could have done it. Angels are greater in power and might. Okay? He wasn't trying to defeat Jacob, and Jacob wasn't trying to defeat him. But there was a wrestling, and there was a reason for it. Also, it says that he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Jacob sustained an injury. It's a pretty bad one. It's a pretty bad one. I don't know if anybody here has ever had a bone out of joint. Basically, his thigh was out of the socket. That hurts a lot. And it makes it so you can't do a lot of the things that you would normally be able to do. I know I've had a lot of injuries to my lower body. I know what this is like. But the angel did this to him. What's Jacob's response? Verse 26, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." That's the angel. And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Look at Jacob's situation here. He's just been injured very severely, okay? What was his plan going to meet Esau? Well, we're going to have to flee, because he's going to attack me. He's in a really bad spot here. But in spite of the injury, what does he say? "I won't let you go. I'm not done wrestling yet. I'm not leaving without a blessing." Compare this with Esau. When Esau had a blessing and he traded away for the sake of his flesh, what is Jacob doing? He's willing to suffer in the flesh to get the blessing. It's the exact opposite of Esau. And God sees that. So he's wrestling with this angel, which, point blank, I believe the angel that he's wrestling with is literally God. There's some nuance to that. I don't even know if I'm going to have time to talk about it today. But Jacob is desperate for this blessing, and he does not want to leave and go face his brother without it. So verse 27, he said unto him, that would be the angel, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob. My name's Jacob." He's been asked this before. He came to his father Isaac, who was blind at that point, couldn't see. And he said, "Who art thou, my son?" He said, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." And he lied. But God is giving him an opportunity to be honest, to come clean. It kind of reminds me a little bit about the way that Peter denied Christ three times. And then after his resurrection, Jesus comes to him and says, "Peter, do you love me?" And he gave him a chance to confess it three times.
Amen.
to kind of make up for it. And I think that's kind of what God is doing here. He's like, you know, Jacob, you've had an honesty problem. What's your name? My name's Jacob. Okay, I'll take it. Verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. For thou as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So he gives him this new name, Israel, which means prince with God. Prince with God. A prince is a mighty man. He's a man of authority. He's a leader. Okay? I think it's Genesis 23, maybe. When Abraham approaches the children of Heth, they say to him, hear us, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. Abraham was a great man. He was a wealthy man. He was very highly esteemed in that part of the world. He was a prince. What is God saying here? As a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Why does he give him this name, Prince with God? Because God sees something precious in Jacob because of his faith and because of his humility. And he says, Jacob, there's something really precious in you that I'm seeking, that I'm looking for, and I want you to be with me, and I'm going to exalt you. What he's saying here has a very strong connection with Christ. And it's so strong, I don't even have the time to go into it all. But that's who Christ is. Christ is a prince with God. He's called the Prince of Peace. He sits at the right hand of the Father. We were in Hosea before, in chapter 12. I'm just going to read something quickly from the previous chapter, chapter 11, verse 1. And God said, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Amen. What's he talking about? Well, Israel was a nation, a young nation, a child, and God loved him and called his son out of Egypt. That's what the book of Exodus is about. But this is at the same time a prophecy of Christ. When in the book of Matthew it says, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, then who's Jesus? Well, believe it or not, he's the true Israel. He's the firstborn. He's the son that God called out of Egypt. Remember in the book of Exodus, God said, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. If you don't let him go, I'm going to slay your son, your firstborn. So there's a very strong parallel between Israel and Christ. And God is looking at Jacob here and naming him Israel. You know why? Because Jacob is really reminding him of Christ. He's got the faith of Christ here in humility and faith. He's seeking after God for that blessing, and he's willing to suffer in the flesh for it and to not give up and to offer those strong prayers and crying and tears. By the way, that verse that we read in Hebrews, he made prayer and supplication in the days of his flesh, offering up strong crying and tears. That's about Christ. That's the same thing Jacob's doing here, and that's why God says this. He said, I'm elevating you, Jacob. I'm exalting you because you humbled yourself in my sight and you sought me the right way. He says, as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Does that mean that Jacob got victory over God? that Jacob was able to wrestle with God and defeat him? No, it doesn't mean that. It's not like God lost this wrestling match. God wasn't trying to beat him. God didn't lose. But God wanted to wrestle with him. God wanted Jacob to wrestle with him, and he wanted them to come together and hash this thing out. And he wanted Jacob to be tested and to be proven here. That's what this is about. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. So he gives him the blessing, but at the same time, Jacob asked this angel, "What's your name?" And the angel says, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" Go to Judges chapter 13. This is a very similar passage. Judges chapter 13. And this is when the angel of the Lord appears to Samson's parents. And verse 16, it says, Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. Verse 17, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" Same kind of response. Why are you asking my name? I'm not going to tell you. It's a secret. Finally, go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Amen. Was a secret. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Amen. I have some further thoughts about this, but in the book of Revelation at the end, Jesus says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify." An angel, okay, that appeared as Jesus and spoke to John. And when John saw him, he's like, he looks like the Son of Man. But guess what? He was an angel sent by Jesus to represent him. I think that's what Jacob is wrestling with here. He looks like a man. Yet he's an angel, but he's seen God face to face. Okay? So verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which again means the face of God. And he says, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved."
Well,
now, there's a lot of people in the Bible when they realize that they met God or saw God. Manoah is one of them. He meets the angel of the Lord. He knows he's the angel of the Lord after he ascends in the flame of fire. And he says, "We're going to die. We've seen God." But he doesn't. Whenever somebody sees God or sees an angel of God, an appearance of God, they're like, "Oh no, I'm going to die." Moses thought the same thing. "I'm going to die." But here, when he says, "My life is preserved," he could be meaning that. He's like, "Wow, I've seen God face to face, and I'm still alive." He could mean that. But I think he's also meaning, "My life is preserved. I'm going to face Esau. My life is in danger. But you know what? I just met with God and I got his blessing. And now my life is preserved.
Amen.
Now I can face my brother. Now I'm ready. Verse 31, as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. It's a slightly different name from verse 30. I think, and this actually happened in the previous chapter in Genesis 31. He calls the place Galeed, but then it's the Mount of Gilead. The name is slightly different. I think Peniel is the name that he gives the place, and then Penuel is the name that the place ends up like being known as because of the name that he gave it. So I think it's a slight difference there, but it's the same meaning, actually. But as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. What is that? What exactly happened when the angel touched him there? And his thigh was out of joint. And now he's passing over. He's, oh, I got to stop. I can't keep going. I got this injury now. Well, I look back at his life. And when he got on the wrong side of Esau, what did he do? He fled. When he was supposed to leave Laban, what did he do? He fled. When he's getting ready to face Esau again, his kind of backup plan is, well, let's split up and flee. Jacob has been fleeing his whole life. But now God took that away from him. He said, no, Jacob, you're going to trust me. You're not going to be able to flee from this encounter. So Jacob has to go in full of faith, realizing, I can't flee from this. I've got to face it head on. I need to trust in the Lord to bring me through this. Finally, verse 32, therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. I don't have a lot to say about this other than it's basically a tradition of remembrance that the children of Israel continued on just to remember this, what happened there with Jacob. Honestly, there's so much more I could get into about this, but for the sake of time, I think we're actually going to just end up in Matthew chapter 15. I mentioned before that passage there that we just read, that's not the only place in the Bible that someone wrestles with him. Okay? And just to kind of help you understand what he's going through there, I wanted to share this with you. Matthew chapter 15. This is when someone else wrestles with that same person. Only the same person now has, he was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so this is Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. This woman is desperate. She really needs a blessing from the Lord. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He ain't giving it to her easy. He's going to make her wrestle. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I just read that. Verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I admit my place. Be it unto me according to your word. I am a dog. Just like Jacob in that same chapter, he came before God and said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies and the truth. But he came and cried anyway. And he was humble and he had faith. And she's the same way. She's humble and she's got faith. Verse 28, that Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It's the same kind of wrestling. He didn't give it to her easy. He said, how much do you want this? Are you gonna keep crying? Are you gonna be humble about it? Are you gonna have this great faith? And when you do that, when you come to God one-on-one and you have that wrestling match with him, that's very precious in the sight of God, in the sight of Christ. And he sees that, and he'll give you that blessing. So I think that's about all we have time for now. But just thank you for being here in Sunday school, and I hope you get a blessing out of that.